Wildfires are an ever-present danger in our region, especially during the summer months. They can rise up and spread quickly, leaving destruction and even death in their wake. How prepared are you to evacuate on short notice with a wildfire headed your way? Is your go kit ready? Do you know your evacuation route? This is the Jefferson Exchange. I'm Mike Green. Today, my guests will help us understand how we need to be prepared for an unfortunate reality in our region, the threat of wildfires, and how to effectively escape. We'll spend extra time with Patience Winningham from the Oregon Department of Emergency Management and with Jackson County's Emergency Manager, Holly Powers. Welcome to you both.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Okay, so which is which? Patience, let me hear from you.
This is Patience Winningham.
Okay, and Holly, you're...
Good morning, Holly Powers.
Fantastic. Now, Patience, before we get into the evacuation plans, let's start with the threat itself. How prevalent are wildfires in Oregon and Northern California during the summer months?
Oh, they are actually becoming quite prevalent and significant. What we're seeing this year is really so far been on the east side of the state of Oregon. I think we heard some numbers this morning, over 40 fires, 40 active fires. On the landscape across the state of Oregon, however, there's four very large fires on the eastern side currently. And when we look back at the numbers and what Oregon Department of Forestry and Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office are sharing with the federal partners, it is quite significant. I think we're looking at over 900,000 acres burned so far. And if you put that in perspective, in Labor Day fires, we burned just over a million. I think it was 1.1 million acres. So we're not even to August yet.
Wow. So more than 40 fires burning just in the eastern part of the state alone?
Across the state of Oregon, that's correct.
I understand you had a close encounter of your own.
I'm sorry?
Patience, I understand you had a close encounter of your own with a wildfire.
Actually, I come from my previous career. I was a county emergency manager in Lane County and experienced the Holiday Farm fire. I was a resident, or I am a resident of McKenzie Bridge, and so I was the emergency manager at the time of that fire and numerous fires following that. Every year since then, there's been large fires within the county that I supported our partners with, to include the Cedar Creek fire, the Lookout fire. I mean, the list goes on, but also including evacuating the entire town of Oak Ridge. Moving 5,000 people in short order is not anything that we've ever really done in the past historically, up until about the last 5 years, in my opinion, across the state of Oregon. So I got to play with fire a little bit, and unfortunately, I have moved to the state, and now we get to look at a much bigger picture and be more broad. Be more broad in my perspective and scope, unfortunately. But, yeah, more to learn.
Well, Holly, I know we're prone to many wildfires here in Jackson County as well. How many fires have we had so far this year in Jackson County?
I think we've had quite a few, but the majority of our fires are, under 5 to 10 acres. Luckily, even an amazing fire service here in Southern Oregon. We have had two rather large fires to date. The Upper Applegate fire was in June, the end of June. And then the last few weeks, we've had the Salt Creek fire, which is out in the Lake Creek area. So I think Upper Applegate was close to 1,000 acres or just over, and Lake Creek was somewhere in the 4,000-acre fire. So we have actually had pretty significant fires. I would say, luckily, I guess, at this point, they've still been wildland. We had homes threatened in both fires, but we were able to, again, back to our amazing firefighting forces in here, be able to protect those structures and do the good work for our residents. But we have fires every day. We have small grass fires just about every day, starting mid-June, all the way through our really good first wetting rain, either end of September, beginning of October. So.
Well, I know there was a fire recently near Central Point. Help us understand how dangerous wildfire can be. How quickly can it move? And how do we know how much time we have to get out?
Well, unfortunately, there is no definite on any of those questions. And I am not a wildfire expert. I'm not a firefighter in that front. So as far as fire behavior and that sort of a thing, you know, I would defer to our firefighting agencies for that kind of detail. But from an emergency management perspective and from just a resident here in our valley, it can move very quickly. It's going to depend on the fuel type that fire starts in, also the winds and how that's going. So the fire last week just out of Central Point was in grass. And then if you have a heavy wind, grass is a hot, flashy fuel. So it can move very quickly through grass, fire can. And I think that's a lot of what, especially if we have high winds, wind-driven fire is a fire that moves very, very quickly. And then if you're more out into the wilderness, depending on if you're in oak, or up into our more evergreen type, then it's just a different fire type because there's more vertical fuel. So instead of moving quickly across the ground, gaining acres rather fast, you know, you're going to have fire that's going to go up into the trees and into the crowns. It can still then, let me be clear, move very quickly in the forest land as well. But it's just different fire types. And that's, again, the plus minus. The experience here of our firefighters is that they're very well versed in our landscape and how fire moves and behaves within Southern Oregon. And so for residents, it's just kind of understanding where you live and doing that good defensible safe work that we've all been trying to do around our homes to be prepared. Because fires can move very quickly and it all depends, I guess, is the baseline answer.
Right. Before we get into the preparation and the evacuation, let's stick with the threat itself. How do the number of wildfires this year in Jackson County compare with previous years?
Definitely having the two larger fires that we have definitely more acres burned in Jackson County this year than we have in the previous years at this point in time. I, again, don't have the exact statistics in the years past on total acres burned every year, but, you know, already having 5,000 acres burned here in the month of July, by the month of July, is higher than average for us here in Jackson County.
And patients, what do those numbers look like statewide? Are they getting better or worse or trending steady?
So I can tell you what we have on our dashboard as it stands currently, and the data source is NISFE, the National Interagency Fire Center. And across the state of Oregon, we currently have 125 fires for a total of 948,000+ acres. We do have a number of level one, level two, level three evacuations in place across the state of Oregon, which is, I believe, unprecedented. Holly can correct me if I'm wrong, but I think there are significant numbers total. On our website, there are materials that informs populations that are in those evacuation areas, and that is also pretty significant. It looks like we have almost 7,500 addresses under evacuation levels of some kind total, with an estimated 18,719 people in some sort of evacuation level. So addresses versus people, and those are estimations, but it just kind of gives us a ballpark of what we're looking at. I mean, I just capitalize on the moment to say, you know, we're seeing what's happening on the eastern side of Oregon, and we're only at the end of July, and we still need to get through August and most likely a good portion of September. And so with multiple fires on the landscape, we've got a long way to go here. And bolstering our fire service to support them, but also those wraparound services, making sure we're supporting our citizens of Oregon and understanding of evacuation levels and overall preparedness, which I think you're going to go into next.
So, patients, what changes have you seen in how the state prepares for fire season over the years, since it seems to be getting worse?
You know, my new role here at the state of Oregon's Department of Emergency Management, I was just counting. I've been here about 10 months. And having come from a municipality and a county and now getting at that state level, trying to change the perspective of the agency and our service delivery to our customers. And our customers are their state enterprise partners, so Oregon State Fire Marshal's Office, Oregon Department of Forestry, ODOT, OSP, but also our local county emergency managers. And the way we're changing the way we do business is being more proactive instead of reactive. So we want to be in front of the phone calls for resources and assistance and understand that before that phone call comes. And that's the mission and the direction I'm trying to take this agency, is help our partners be successful in protecting people, property, and moving resources as quickly as humanly possible from this agency. And also, you know, something that's been a gap and we're really getting there is providing overall situational awareness from a statewide perspective. We don't know big picture how fast and quickly we can draw down resources, and the general public needs to understand when we run out of resources, it's important to know that sometimes resources aren't coming, right? So there are fires on the landscape right now that are not actually being engaged with the fire service because we don't have resources to give. And when I say we, I mean both within the state of Oregon, but nationally. We're at emergency preparedness level 5, and that means all resources have been deployed, or we are getting down to the bottom of the barrel of resources to deploy, and they're using that information to make decisions on where they prioritize, where they deploy resources.
Well, that's pretty scary. That means there's got to be more awareness and preparation on the part of Oregonians. And I'm talking with Patience Winningham from the Oregon Department of Emergency Management and Holly Powers, Jackson County's emergency manager. You can join us via email at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Holly, I remember the Alameda and the Obenchain fires of 2020. Can you talk a bit about that and what lessons were learned from that experience?
Yeah, that's for sure. I would note here that I came to Jackson County in May of 21, so just post Alameda and Obenchain. So I was not within Jackson County or the emergency manager at that time. But one of the things I did support was the county's after-action report that focused on the EOC at the county level and the things that were either worked really well or that we needed to improve upon. And one of our primary components that was given to me as a priority again was our alert and warning system, and also our coordination with at the county level with all of our municipalities and special districts when we do have something catastrophic happening. How are we coming together, similar to what Patience was just talking about at the state level, but just bringing it down to a county level, and how do all of the jurisdictions within the county boundaries come together and leverage the resources we do have or the information we do have to either mitigate the impact of whatever the disaster is or support our community in any of the needs they may have. So we've been working really diligently on upgrading and making our alerting system more effective and efficient, and then adjusting it as needed. I think every time we send an alert, we recognize, oh, this could be worded differently, or, you know, adding a different perspective on it. And then again, back to our county coordination, we've been working for the last two years to update our basic emergency operation plan, which was just presented to the Board of Commissioners and should be coming back to the board for adoption here in the next few weeks. So just trying to actually put in place and update any of the plans or policies that we had from the lessons learned. And again, I'm speaking from kind of that emergency management level, so that higher coordination, resourcing, communication, and dissemination of information is really where we've been spending a lot of time to update and make sure we can communicate well with our communities.
Well, we're running out of time for this segment, and on the other side, we're going to talk about how to prepare, how to evacuate, where do we get that kind of information. So very quickly, Holly, how are residents notified when they need to leave, and what should they do when they get the notice?
Yeah, so first and foremost, this is a great opportunity for all of our Jackson County residents. If you're not signed up for Citizen Alert, now is always the best time. So any of our residents or can go to jacksoncountyor.gov/alert In there, you'll see information about the different types of alerts that you may receive as a Jackson County resident. There's also a kind of red, has like a megaphone. It says sign up here. So if you click there, it'll take you to our citizen alert login.
Yeah, let's talk about that on the other side. I appreciate that. So we're going to take a short break and be back with Patience Winningham and Holly Powers. Your comments and questions are welcome via email at jx@jeffnet.org. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Green. I'm talking with Patience Winningham of the Oregon Department of Emergency Management and Holly Powers, the Jackson County Emergency Manager. And before the break, Holly, you were talking about how residents get notified and what they need to do when they get noticed or when they get the notification and need to leave. Can you remind us of what you were saying?
Yeah, definitely, Mike. So again, how residents get notified, our primary utilization, our primary way to notify our residents is through our Citizen Alert Emergency Mass Notification System. So now is a great time for everyone who lives in Jackson or works or plays in Jackson County to either update the Citizen Alert account or go ahead and create one. So if you go to jacksoncountyor.gov/alert, there you'll see information about all the different kinds of alerts that you may receive as a resident. There's also a big sign up here button. So you click on that and it'll take you to the login page. Where again, if you already have an account, you can put in your username and password. And if you don't, it's going to just ask you questions about addresses you want to be alerted on, which you can list up to 5 addresses. So I have my home, I have my work, I have my child's school, and so anytime any of those addresses would receive notification, I'd get it. And then you can put on multiple phone numbers. You can receive both through your cell phone and a landline phone or a VoIP phone. You can also receive text messages and email. And all of that information you would just fill in for you as an individual. We do want to encourage households to make sure any person who needs to get an alert has their own account. Because if my husband and I were on the same account and I received the alert and confirmed it, then we wouldn't necessarily get that alert if we shared an account. So please, every individual who needs to receive notifications about something happening should have their own account, including maybe your if you have a teenager that has a cell phone that lives in your house, have them have their own account. So that's the main way that we send alerts is through our citizen alert system.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but we have some other methods. So.
That sounds good on the Jackson County level. Patients, how does that work on the state level?
At the state level, we actually purchased Everbridge and pushed it out for all locals to utilize, all local counties to utilize. And you can go to oralert.gov, type in your zip code to find where your notification process is, who your alert originator is, and you can register from there. It'll take you directly to your county's page, which is super helpful. You can also scroll all the way to the bottom of that page and see active alerts. What are existing and what are in place if you're not sure.
Can you repeat that again?
Oralert.gov, oralert.gov.
Fantastic. Now, what do families need to do to prepare just in case they have to leave at a moment's notice? Talk about what does a go kit look like? What does it entail? What's in it?
Sure, absolutely. I'll go first and then I'll let Holly chime in. But I just want to say that, you know, from my experience in Holiday Farm Fire, there were a lot of stories that I heard from people about when we asked them to just pack a bag and be ready to go at a moment's notice because of the weather forecast and unprecedented east wind events that a large wildfire, any flame on the landscape could really spark and produce a quick moving wildfire. And so you'd have to leave at a moment's notice. Some of the recommendations that we had were, you know, just set a bag by your front door and start to put things in it that you have at your fingertips that you can't live without. I mean, when I go to the dentist and they give me that extra toothbrush and toothpaste, I drop it in my go bag by my front door. If I'm going to go to donate a bunch of clothes that I don't wear anymore, maybe I put a couple pairs of pants and some extra pair of shoes and some documentation. So I always have all those things When I live in the wildland urban interface, so I live in McKinsey Bridge, and my goal is to always have all of the things I need at my fingertips to move quickly, and that includes putting all my important documents in one file folder so that my husband and my children all know what color folder to look for and what to grab when they leave. Over the course of the last 5 years, my home has been consistently put in some level of evacuation. And I could tell you what you want to take with you, the list really gets smaller and smaller. and then it just turns into a tote. Like, what can you not live without? Because some people are tied to things and they don't want to leave their things. However, your life is more important than your things, right? So what cannot be replaced? Well, I tell you, in my banker's box, it's photos. In my banker's box, it's those passports, birth certificates, driver's licenses, and my animals, and my kids, right? So those are things that we really need to think about when we try to stay behind. At a level one, you should always be ready. And if you live in the wildland urban interface, you should always have a bag packed and your personal belongings that you can't live without by the front door. At a level two, if you are access and functional needs, you have other critical equipment, if you're a transient population traveling in your RV, you know, the message is always, maybe you should get going down the road because we don't want you to get plugged up trying to get out, right? That's paramount. And a lot of people don't take the time to think about, what am I taking with me? After Labor Day fires, I heard many stories. We issued an EAS alert where everybody was notified by TV and radio that we were about to experience an unprecedented east wind event, and that could mean large wildfire, and you may need to take protective action for yourselves and your families, as well as your neighbors. We did that, and many people approached me and said that was the best thing because they really took it to heart and they took immediate action. However, some people did not get the message, and I heard, you know, one gentleman, all he could do, he woke up, he was going to go on a fishing trip the next day, he had his boat hooked up to his truck, and he went to his underwear drawer and grabbed all of his socks and underwear and found himself at Valley River Center parking lot, and all he had to his name was his boat and all of his socks and underwear. and you know, that's because people, human nature, you see flames, you're like, I have to go. And you start to, your mind goes in different places. And so that's why you really just need to sit down and think about, am I at risk? What am I taking with me? And we should always be going through those conversations with ourselves, our families, and our neighbors if we're put into a level one.
I'm talking with Patience Winningham from the Oregon Department of Emergency Management and Holly Powers, Jackson County's Emergency Manager. You can join us via email at jx@jeffnet.org. Holly, this is really getting a little bit scary. If we're in these levels, talk about these levels and what we need to do depending on which level notice we receive. And if we've got a family, if we've got elderly people in our homes, if we've got farm animals, help us understand the dangers and what we need to do to escape.
Yeah, and I mean, so this is where we really look at each one of us as an individual and our families. We have a responsibility to look and take care of ourselves and where our safety level, where our sense of safety is. And so just to reiterate what Patience was talking about there, you know, we have lots of information about on the different evacuation levels. You can go to the county's website. We also have a preparedness site shared with Josephine County. That's rvem.org. There's a lot of information on there about the different hazards for both the counties and the preparedness tips that you can take with yourself and your family in order to prepare. And really, everything Patience talked about is so relevant. And we really encourage people to try and do one thing a month. And it can be something very small. It can be, today I'm going to buy an extra gallon of water at the store to have stored for my family if needed. Or it could be, like Patience mentioned, instead of taking this whole bag of clothes to donation, maybe I'm going to save the sweater and the you know, an extra pair of pants and put them in my bag. So it doesn't have to cost you money to look at that preparedness. And some of those preparedness activities are also planning for evacuating your home. So knowing the roads around your neighborhood. Some of our neighborhoods are one way in, one way out. But is there roads that within the structure of the neighborhood before you get to the one way in or one way out.
That's a good question that you just raised. How do I find my evacuation zone and the correct routes?
So I would first say there's not necessarily a correct route because every disaster, every fire is a little bit different. But that's part of that evacuation planning. So understanding the road structure around your house. And so maybe there's a little preemptive getting on Google Maps and printing out a screen or, you know, going to the local AAA office and buying a map so that you have paper versions of where you live and how to get around as far as evacuation there. But I would leave this into new this year in Jackson County is evacuation zones. So over the last 18 months or so and countless, over a dozen different planning meetings throughout the county with our local subject matter expert, law and fire, public works and roads divisions, and at the state and federal level, we really went through the county, looked at fire behavior, topography, road structure, and worked in and around the county to develop different evacuation zones. So there's a couple different places you can go to find that information. You can go to the county website, jacksoncountyor.gov/knowyourzone. And there you'll see a link where you can look up your address. You can also go to the software company that we are utilizing, which is called Genesis Protect. Genesis is spelled G-E-N-A-S-Y-S. And they have both a web page, but also an application that you can download onto your smartphone, both via, Apple or Android. And there, in both those locations, you can search for your address. You put in your address, and then it'll take you to your zone, and it'll tell you you live in zone MED-001, which would be a Medford-based zone, or JAC-317, which would be an unincorporated Jackson County zone. And so those are the two significant ways that you can find the evacuation zone that you're in.
Excellent. We'll make sure that that information is at jeffexchange.org. Really appreciate that patience. The logistics of so many large groups of people clogging up the transportation arteries with a wildfire racing out of control sounds like a nightmare. How does the state prepare for people for an orderly and effective escape?
Well, I think the first order of business is having a lot of pre-plans in place and knowing the relationships, having those trusted relationships with those having the authority to close routes and direct traffic. The most localist level, it's law enforcement from the city or the county or the state, and they coordinate with ODOT depending on who owns the road. With the Cedar Creek fire and the Snowmageddon on Highway 58, which is a primary corridor, they had to coordinate together because that route got closed for 3 or 4 days, which has significantly impacted our ability to provide resources to the town of Oak Ridge. And it took a long time to clear that route from snow, but also landslide risk after the fact. There's a lot of coordination that goes into that effort. I also would say that in Labor Day fires, we were beholden to 126 in one way, and we did not hesitate to start issuing Level 3 evacuations within that first couple of hours, which moved people quickly. And that was the intention in that environment, was to move people quickly. However, when we're proactive and we are very thoughtful and intentional, when we put those Level 1, Level 2, and Level 3s in place from the law enforcement's perspective, those having the authority is the sheriff at every county to make those decisions. And they don't take them lightly. You know, that decision is asking people to leave their homes and evacuate those areas. And some people don't leave. They will stand their ground to protect their property. And unfortunately, sometimes it may not be the best decision depending on the fire environment and the fire behavior. Right? So it puts people's lives at risk and in danger. And we need to work together and heed the warnings from officials that understand what those impacts are. I also would say, I just want to capitalize on the moment to say that we can't forget about all our the first responders out there in the field, to include dispatch centers. You know, those 911 centers are taking the load for lots of questions of what's my zone, where can I get more information, I need some help here. But those 911 centers are short-staffed, they're overwhelmed, and the more people can better understand what their evacuation zones are and pre-plan for themselves and their neighborhoods, the less impact we'll have on those dispatch centers that are supporting the first responders in the field, dispatching law enforcement and fire support, as well as Department of Transportation partners, right? We have to help people, ask them, to encourage them, to get them to plan for the what if I have to leave my home and know your zone and your route.
That's excellent. Indeed. Excellent advice. That's all the time we have, unfortunately. I want to thank you both, Patience Winningham of the Oregon Department of Emergency Management, and thank you, Holly Powers of the Jackson County Emergency Management.